Kath, I could have used a little more notice that I was preaching today. I want to thank Derek Peters, and I hope you noticed that there is a little Alfred Hitchcock kind of a twist, you know, where Derek has now set the trend that he appears in a small scene in his own movies. So in the future, in 20 years from now, when you go to the cinema and you see one of his films, make sure you look for that signature trademark from our friend Derek. Thank you, Derek, for your many, many labors on making movies. We're reading today from the book of Revelation, which is read during Easter. You know, the lectionary, which are the scriptures that are appointed to be read for each Sunday during the year. And there's a gospel reading and an Old Testament reading and an epistle reading and a psalm. Well, in the Easter season, you always forsake the Old Testament for the book of Revelation. And to be honest, I never really got that until this year when I was reading through the Revelation text and started to think about it in a different way. You know, we read the Easter story about Christ rising from the dead, and we talk about the promise of life that Christ brings, but then we look around the world that we live in, and we realize that it's not it does not appear to be an Easter world, that there is still plenty of death around, plenty of disappointment, plenty of despair. And so we read Revelation in the Easter season, not so much as a prediction of details about everything to come. Now, Revelation was really written as a way of affirming that this is, against contrary to all appearances, this is an Easter world, and that God is working his purpose out, and in the end, that life does have the last word. And so I'm reading selected verses now from the end of the book of Revelation, which, of course, is John's vision of that culmination of the purposes of God, of the promises of God, the fulfillment of the Easter story, the fulfillment of Easter hope. And so I'm going to read that vision, and here, look not so much again for some literal prediction of events to be, but rather for God's purpose, the destination toward which creation is heading and toward which we all are heading as God's people. So hear the word of God. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. The sea is always a sign of chaos and uncertainty and danger. So the sea now is no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things will have passed away." And in the Spirit, God carried me away to a great high mountain. Always the place of revelation in Scripture, to go to a high mountain where now you have perspective, where you can see. The Spirit took me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It has the glory of God and a radiance like a very rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day. And there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. And on either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and there will be no more night, for they need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You who are our rock and our salvation. Amen. So here in these words, we hear the culmination of Easter hope. We have that first taste with the resurrection of Christ from the dead, but all creation is heading toward a resurrection of its own, where there is no more death, nor more sorrow, no more pain or crying. Did you notice that there's no temple in the city? There's no church? There's no need of it, because God himself is among his people. God himself is there, so you don't need to go to church. You don't need to go to worship, because you are constantly in the presence of God. But until then, we need the church. William Sloane Coffin, preacher, said that many people say the church is a crutch. And his reply was always, well, of course it's a crutch. What makes you think you don't limp? Why church? Isn't the light of God always shining upon us? Isn't the voice of God always speaking to us? Isn't the Spirit of God always moving in our hearts? Sure, but this side of glory, we don't always see it. This side of glory, we don't always listen. This side of glory, we don't always pay attention to what's in our hearts, do we? So why the church? The church is a place where we come to consciously, intentionally look, listen, and pay attention to God. The church is a crutch, and we do limp. And until that day on the other side of glory, we can use all the crutches that we can get. Did you notice that the image here of fulfillment of God's promise is a city? The Bible starts in a garden amidst the beauty of nature that is meant to lead those first human beings to God, but it ends in a city. It ends in a place where there is community, a place where there are relationships. The church, first of all, this side of glory, is our spiritual home. It's our home. It's our place. As I think it was Mark Twain who said, when you come there, they have to take you in. And did you notice that in Revelation, the gates of the city are always open? They're open all day, it says. And then it goes on to say, well, there's no night. So the gates are always open. The gates are always open to welcome people in. The church is meant to be a safe place where we come as who we are and find a refuge in God and a refuge in one another. Now, you and I both know the church isn't perfect when it comes to that. We're not a perfect refuge. There are times when safety is not our experience. There's a poem that I picked up years ago that points that out. It says, I think that I shall never see a church that's all it ought to be. A church whose members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way. A church that has no empty pews, whose preacher never has the blues. Where elders eld and deacons deek, and none are proud and all are meek. Where gossips never peddle lies or make complaints or criticize. Whose members all are sweet and kind, and so to each other's faults are blind. Such congregations there may be, but none of them are known to me. So let us work and pray and plan to make this church the best we can. So having said that, that any church, this church and any church, falls short of those intentions, I have to say, as I learned in my little video adventure, but really as I've seen over and over again, how you bind each other up in difficult times, how you pray for each other, how you encourage one another in word and in deed, how you have come through the gates of this church to grow in faith, to deepen in faith, to walk in faith, and how this has been a place where you have made a home, a spiritual home for one another by the power of the Spirit of God. But you notice those gates are open not just to come in, but the gates of the city are also open to go out. Because the church, while it may be a refuge and a safe place, is never a place to stay. And so each Sunday we do walk out through the gates of this church. We go out to serve God in mission, to serve God certainly in the mission field, as some of our folks are today in Iowa, cleaning up for the fifth time flood damage, but also to go out in mission to the very places that you go every day, to your homes, to your places of work, to your schools, to your parks, to your neighbors. Because every place is the mission field. The church, the Presbyterian Church in Lake Geneva, when you drive into their parking lot, there's a nice little sign there. It says, "Welcome." And when you leave, when you drive away from church every Sunday morning, the reverse of that sign says, "Now entering the mission field." Everywhere you go, you have the opportunity to be God's person, to be a messenger of faith and hope and love. You notice the tree of life there bears 12 different kinds of fruit. There's a different fruit it bears in every season, and we're to bear fruit wherever we go. And then there's that beautiful line, "The leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations." And I like to think of all of us as leaves of the trees. And when those leaves fall, when we're scattered, we're for the healing of the nations and of the peoples and of our neighbors and of our family and of our friends and of those people whose names perhaps we do not even know. The leaves of the trees for the healing of the nations. One of our confirmation class members, who today will be presenting their statements of faith to the session, pointed out the importance of hope. I think Easter is above all a season of hope. We have that promise of life, that the last word is not death. All appearances to the contrary, the last word is not death, but life. And the resurrection of Christ shows us that. But we, as we gather into this spiritual home, and as we go forth from this base for mission out to the places God sends us, we are to be people of hope who carry within us that promise, that the last word is not death or disappointment or despair, but the last word is life. And we hold on to that life. At the same time, we let go of it to share it with a world that needs to hear it. Is the world, is the church a crutch? You bet it is. Because all of us, within and beyond these walls, all of us limp. And until that day of glory, until that day when God himself will be among us to wipe away every tear from our eyes, until that day, then we carry that light. We carry that life. We are the leaves of the trees for the healing of the nations. Let's be faithful to that call. Pray with me. Gracious God, we thank you for this congregation and its heritage of faithfulness to you, and for the opportunity we have to carry your light, to bear your life into a needy world. For we know that you go before us to prepare the way, you go within us to empower us, you go among us to encourage us and hold us up. For it is your light and your life that we share, for the healing of the nations and for the healing of our own souls. Lord, we thank you. In Christ's name, And let all God's people say, Amen. And let's worship God now with our gifts and with song.